We should start then. I just hit record, and now we're recording. I just hit record. Do you want me to go back and not hit record?
Yeah.
Would you like to start again?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I've got everybody again up to date here. Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Sherpa, Gig Sky.
Yep, you're right. On Doer. Okay. Yeah. And that's it. You're good. So I didn't even have to stop. You did good. Are you, did you winterize your trailer? So is that why you've decided to live up there for the winter?
No. It's just situation has taken me here. And again, being able to do the show from here, I'll just go back and forth as I feel.
That's great.
No stress, no hurry. You know, it's just what it is. It is, you know what it is? It is what it is.
It is what it is. I'm calling the show Jays Lose, but it's close. Because it was. Share on your timeline. Nope. Share to your page. All right. In a second, this meeting. Oh, there we go. This meeting is being live streamed. This meeting is about to be, well, there we go. There we are. Well, if you're ready, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
The following episode is brought to you by the following episode of the Humble and Fred Show is brought to you by the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, and Doer.
All right, well, you just froze. Now you're, like, we've been talking for, what, 15 minutes?
Yes.
And as soon as we started the show, there's this stuttery freezing effect. At the end of Doer, did you say the world's most comfortable pants and the 10th anniversary show will be presented by Doer?
Yes, well, now that you've said it, we're covered. Am I
all right?
How's the connection? Fine now?
Yeah, now it's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, no, there it goes again. I don't know what that is. Is that just the Humble and Fred thing where everything is fine until we start the show? I haven't had a shower in a couple days. I showered Saturday afternoon, and I feel like yesterday I didn't need to shower, and now I'm looking at my hair. I probably should have showered. Do you shower every day?
Yes, especially when I'm up here, because I'm usually doing things that are down and dirty, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I shower every day, but because I showered late Saturday after golf, which I do occasionally, I didn't feel like yesterday. It's just the whole day went by, I didn't shower. And then today I thought, oh, maybe I'll go golfing with my brother and then shower after. But so now I'm just sitting here all stinky.
Although I have to admit, last winter, like in the dead of the winter, you know, when your skin gets a bit dry and everything, and I would get up and have showered, say, on a Monday, and then Tuesday, I would get up and, you know, your skin's a bit dry and everything, and you don't really do anything all day on any particular day, and it's like, do I really need to shower, or do I give my skin a break?
Well, yeah, I think that's great, because you, from what I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, from what I recall, you have quite a moisturizing regime. You like to moisturize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. I'm not judging you. I should do more moisturizing.
I use this organic aloe on my face that Delise buys, and then the Jennifer Aniston stuff on the rest of my body. What's it called?
Neutrogena? I don't know.
No.
I don't know, man.
Aveeno. Started watching the second season of The Morning Show on Apple TV. Couldn't stick with it. Got very bored. So I don't know. I'll have to take another run at that. A bit disappointed.
Yeah, Rachel brought it up because she said season 2 is available. She has Apple TV. I do not. Although I have that available on one of my services, Pirate. And And yeah, I'm not. I've never watched. I think I watched the very first episode of the first season. Everyone loves it.
Say that again.
Everyone I know loves that show.
No, I really like the first season, but the first episode of the second season, I just was drifting away. And then, you know what I did? Just for a little contrast,
I don't.
Delise and I were watching it, so we watched. We were watching the first episode of the second season, and then sort of got bored with it, and we flipped right over to a service and watched Friends. And you know, Jennifer Aniston is like a 22-year-old or 20, yeah, whatever she was then.
No.
And here, what, some 30 years later would it be now, I yeah. guess?
I'm just curious, like, when you flip over to watch Friends, is that like an indication to Delise that, you know, some stuff may be going down? Is that like a signal in the home?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. But,
get ready to rumble, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
How did we get on to that show from having a shower? I can't remember now.
Because I said I used Aveeno.
Oh, Aveeno. Right.
And that's
okay.
Jennifer Aniston. She really promotes that really big time, eh?
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Remind me, I'm not sure if we're going to get to it today. We might. But I took Rachel. Well, no, two things. I wanted to tell you about my return to Costco. I went there last week. I'm now a Costco member. And you're allowed to put somebody else on your membership, right? So I got Rachel on my membership. And for some reason, I'm still not sure, one of those things she said to me this weekend, she goes, can we go to Costco? I'm like, sure. And we went to Costco on a Sunday morning. And that was quite something.
Crowded?
Beyond crowded. It was chaos.
You and I don't need to do any of that stuff on a Saturday or Sunday.
I know. It got overwhelming. I said to her at one point, I said, let's just go and we'll come back, you know, on like a Tuesday after the show sometime.
Yeah. I usually go during the week and have the place to myself.
But yeah,
and that's Brampton, which is a very, very busy store, especially the returns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The returns are at the door.
Well, you know, anyway, to bring in full circle to what we were talking about, which is Jennifer Aniston, for some reason, I saw her and that product in the pharmacy of Costco yesterday, and I thought, that's interesting, I thought. Why would, it just seemed like, I know, I guess it was that product you're talking about, Aveeno, but I was surprised that she would be, and her face was there promoting this product in Costco. It seemed like that mm-hmm. would be beneath her.
Oh, you think? Oh. Because I guess that comes from the television spots, which are... Oh, by the way, television spots. Have you seen, and I cannot figure it out, for Uber Eats, Elton John doing a commercial for Uber Eats, and it's ridiculous.
Is it?
Like, they're sitting on those... Him and this other guy are sitting on those horses that you used to be in the supermarkets or something, and I'm thinking,
oh yeah, oh yeah, here it is. You want to see it? It's sure. It's Lil Nas X and Elton John on those what were those, like, mechanical horses?
Yeah, your parent would, you know, your mom and dad would flip a dime into one and
yeah,
be rocked back and forth for a minute and a half or something.
Tonight I'll be eating a buffalo chicken panini with extra hot sauce.
And you're supposed to think, oh, I see, they're both on the...
Tonight, I'll be eating salmon sushi with a Japanese jiggly cheesecake. Kind of good.
Fire.
Naz?
Yeah?
Spare a pound?
What?
You know, bones, shillings, lolly.
Lolly.
Bangers and mash.
I'm sorry?
I don't have any money.
You don't look broke.
My rocket is skint.
All right. Well, yeah, what is that all about?
Delise liked the line, my rocket is skint, because that's a British phrase for not having money or something.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Just from the standpoint, like, for him to do a commercial, again, for Uber, like, how is that presented to him? And then he agrees, and then they show, then he gets the script, and...
Well, he must have approved it.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. But
to me, it, like, I just feel a bit sad when I see that. You know, for whatever reason. You know, as long as he's happy, though.
You know what his net worth is?
I know.
Half smart. $1 billion. Mm-hmm. So whatever, for whatever reason that he wanted to do that spot, he must have wanted to do it. Okay, so
do it for the money.
So here's what we're going to need you to do. Mm-hmm. You gotta go out and come back in. Because in now 11 minutes of doing the show, you've, and none of this happened before the show. Maybe it's a Zoom thing, but why don't you just go and come back in? All right, so it's just us now. Okay. On the show today, which is going to be interesting, Helen and Diane from the Feminine Warrior podcast. Because when you think about feminine warriors, I know you think Humble and Fred. Oh, there he is. There we go. Okay, well, now you're back.
That's the first time we've had a connection problem from this this location.
Yeah. I was mentioning the Feminine Warrior podcast, people, on our show today. Featuring Helen Tanzi, who Dan and I knew back in the day when we were young, starting out here in Toronto. She was part of the casting scene. Her friend was a very well-known casting director. That's how we knew her. And Diane Wiseman is a fitness coach. They are close friends who started the Feminine Warrior podcast because they wanted to create a space that celebrates women who have done, who have dove deep into the darkness to reclaim their light. And as I said while you were gone, when you think about feminine warriors, obviously you think of Humble and Fred. And that's why we're here. Also, Paul Schubert returns. Remember Shuby, who we had on the show as our intern? Then he went to CBC, and now he wants to come back.
Yes, he asked us for a job. He wanted to come back and work for us, like a paying job.
Yeah.
And, of course, we could not accommodate that because we can't accommodate that.
Yeah, we don't. We're not throwing around paying jobs. That's not what we're doing. I'm having a bit of trouble today.
In what way?
With my throat. Yeah. Last couple of days, actually. I don't know if it's the weather, but it's the last couple of weeks. Maybe the weather changing. I don't know. But I'm having trouble clearing my throat. So if I, I'm going to turn this down from time to time.
Mm-hmm. So were you golfing yesterday?
Yesterday I was not golfing, no.
So were you watching the Jays at 3 o'clock, Major League Baseball on the final day of the regular season?
Yeah.
Scheduled all games at 3 o'clock, so nobody would have an advantage on, you know, we can put a different pitcher in or we can do this or do that based on other results.
Oh, I see, yeah. That makes sense.
Which they started doing this a few years ago, and it's a great idea, and it was fantastic yesterday, especially for a Blue Jay fan. Jays had to win, and I have either Boston or the Yankees lose. Jays bust out of the gate, you know, have this huge lead, so then it just becomes a waiting game for the Red Sox and Yankees.
So don't go so fast. The Jays were playing Baltimore.
Yes.
And they won easily. I caught a little bit of one of their games. I think they've had a game on Friday. They won 6-2 or something.
Yeah, they hammered Baltimore this weekend. 6-4 on Friday, right. And then 10-1 yesterday.
So they were waiting for the outcome of what? Just walk me through this like I'm a child.
Well, the thing is, so the Jays are playing Baltimore. They have to win. So against Baltimore yesterday, they explode out of the gate, and that the game is in hand. You know they're going to win it early. So now it just becomes a waiting game to see how Boston does in Washington and the Yankees do at home against Tampa Bay. One of them had to lose for the Jays to make the playoffs. And the Yankees win in the bottom of the ninth against Tampa Bay 1-0.
Oh, come on.
That was excruciating to watch. And then Boston was trailing Washington 5-1 early in the game.
Yeah.
And in the top of the ninth inning, the guy hits a home run.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
And they win at 7-5. So the Jays win, but they lose.
They did everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, another chapter in Toronto sports where you the end of the day ends with that sort of pit in the bottom of your stomach. And
both teams that have to lose both win the game in the ninth inning.
Well, that was it. Like, it's not surprising they won those games. It's just the way it happened was cruel.
Yeah, it didn't have to be so excruciating.
It was very cruel.
Yeah.
So the Jays were all prepared, apparently. All the plane was ready. The hotels were booked in either Boston or New York for a wild card game today.
Yeah, and put that in perspective, too. It really was just to make today. And let me ask you a question. So if one of those things hadn't happened, some game-winning ninth-inning heroics, who the Jays would have played today against Boston or New York, and then what? To what end?
Well, if three teams had made it, they have a formula to figure out who would finally represent as the wild card and go play Tampa Bay in a best of five.
I see.
And it's too complicated to
explain. All I wanted to know. Yeah. So if they had advanced yesterday, they would have gone to a tiebreaker today for the privilege of playing a five-game series against Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Okay.
So if three teams had made it, it would have lasted a couple of days, obviously. There was a chance for a four-team tie for the wild card.
Really? Well, who was the fourth
team? That didn't happen because Seattle lost.
All right.
So then it was potential for three-team.
Yeah.
Like if the Yankees had lost and Boston had won, the Jays would have been hosting a wild card today. If the Yankees had won and Boston lost, then the Jays would be going to Boston today. All these different scenarios, Howard.
But you know what? It was a great day, and I was happy for you. I didn't get a chance to see any of it. I wasn't watching golf. I was spending the day with Rachel. We were doing a Rachel Howard day, very intensive, and I wasn't watching golf at 3. So,
isn't that how different interests, people, like that was my day from the minute I got up yesterday. That was my focus. 3 o'clock, those games taking place, what was going to happen.
Yeah, fascinating.
Like it absorbed me. And then there are days, you know, like you get up and you're all excited about some golf tournament and maybe in passing I might, I'll flip that on for a second.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I know you know a lot about baseball and you know a lot about hockey and football. But, and I know a little bit about those and some about hockey, but the sport that obviously I follow the deepest is golf. Right. Now, I didn't watch it after I dropped Rachel off yesterday, and my brother was here. You know, we watched the end of I had taped the golf tournament, so we watched it, you know, in the evening. But I would have, if Rachel and I hadn't been having Rachel Howard Day, I would have been interested in the baseball game. I would have, you know, would have turned my attention to that. I did look in because I saw on social media what happened. So I was it was of interest to me, and I was aware it was going on. I would give you that much. But before we continue, do you want to just maybe talk a little bit about odds now? Because we're right in the middle of sports, and it might be a good time. And, oh, by the way, this entire section of the show today is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. I ran into him on Saturday and told him about our mistake on Thursday. Of course, I blamed you.
Of course, it was my fault.
No,
it was my fault.
The way I said it, I went, listen, Tim, I'm so sorry, but I said it was all Fred's fault, and he's your favorite anyway, so blame Fred. And Tim laughed, but I said we're gonna make it up for you on Monday. Not only do your regular spot, we're gonna make a big deal of the fact that we forgot it was an error, and that this section of the show is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa and of course our friends at B-Dog.
Well, the Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers are favored to win the wild card games. Pretty close, Yanks and Bo Sox. The Red Sox, the underdog, will pay just $102. St. Louis and the Dodgers, well, imagine this. The Dodgers won like 106 games this year and have to play a wild card because the Giants had such a great season.
Yeah, that seems kind of, by the way, that kind of... The fact that Tampa and they have to play that, it's sort of weird, right? Because you had this great season, and you still have to play off.
Yeah, but it wasn't a great season, but not great enough.
Oh, okay.
That's the way sports works. It just so happened the Giants and Dodgers in the same division had miraculous seasons.
All right.
They won for 100 games. But the problem with the Dodgers now is St. Louis has been very hot. They had a 16-game winning streak at one point, so Cardinals on a one-game playoff could actually win that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know who'll be watching that game. Our boy Lumby. Huge Cardinals fan.
Although the Cardinals pay $175 to win, so obviously the Dodgers favored there. And tonight, the Monday Nighter. The Chargers, a 3-point pick over the Raiders. That's your Monday Night Football, which is very promising.
All right.
As far as an entertainment value, Chargers, Raiders, both having a great season.
Well, don't forget.
And both open football teams. Love them. I'll be watching a bit of that before I fall asleep. Now, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, a casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Go to bodog.eu/sports to have fun.
I just want you to know you're really literally going in and out of phase here today, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's the park. Has the park throttled your internet today?
Don't think so.
All right. Anyway, so that's Bodog, and again, this section of the show brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. We'll get to, everyone knows the Sherpa, knows what the Sherpa can do for you. I gotta tell you, these pants, Doer, the official sponsor of the 10th anniversary podcast, is just a couple weeks away, 10 days from today. The world's most comfortable pants for men and women. I'll tell you what, I haven't worn jeans, like regular jeans, for a while. You know, I've got like city jeans, but not like denim. And these Doer denims, I know that's not the actual name of them. They're not called Doer denims. I think they're called a relaxed fit, but they're perfect. I want to tell you, for guys our age, they really are the most comfortable pants. They've got these, I don't know what the fabric is. There's some proprietary way they're making these. So what I'm talking about, performance denim relaxed is what I'm wearing. And you can get the performance denim slim or the no sweat pant slim. But there's something about them. It's like wearing jeans without all the aggravation of wearing jeans. Doer is proudly Canadian and prides itself on having a collection of natural fiber-rich fabrics. So, use the code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order. Do you like your Doers? Are you doing it in your Doers?
Oh, I love my Doers.
Yeah, it's nice, huh?
Doing it in my Doers.
Humble and Fred, A-N-D, Fred 15 for 15% off your next order. And now back to the show.
By the way, back to us. I'm testing fine from my end, so
yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to shut it down on my end because I'm having no issues. Like my stream is clear.
Yeah,
we're still talking about the Zoom. My stream is clear. Although I did have a prostate question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think of the at Costco yesterday, they had this thing where you I think that was in the pharmacy where you buy it and it does something, shrinks your prostate or something. And not yes. that I'm having any problems. I have no problem. My stream is still very strong for a man soon to be 62. Frequency, though, seems to be on the rise. And mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about, oh, I've got to go and only a dribble comes out. Now, I drink a lot of water. I do. I drink a lot of water in a day, but I will tell you, I'm starting to have to be aware. Like, I was going to drop Rachel off and then go pick David up at Union Station last night. And I had to think, oh, okay, do I need to pee now or could I wait? What are your thoughts?
Well, you're just the typical male. The problem is, again, I'm not an expert, Howard.
You're the expert in my family.
The problem is you're not emptying your bladder the way you used to. What happens if your prostate becomes somewhat restricted? I'll use that word. When you go pee, you're not emptying your bladder, which means it's filling up quicker.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So what happens is prior, to prostate problems, you would empty your bladder completely. But now, if it's somewhat enlarged, you know, it's impinging on your urethra or whatever, you might still have, say, a quarter of the urine still there when the prostate can no longer allow it to pass.
Really?
So, which means you would fill up quicker. And this is what adds to the frequency. This is why when I used to get up 4 and 5 times a night, you would go and just go a bit and then lay back down, and it wouldn't take long till you had that feeling again of urgency that you had to go.
Okay. Well, I'm not having that yet.
Since my... Well, you are.
No, because first of all, I don't have to go at night, like one time maybe.
Okay. Lucky you.
No, and when I do go, you know, it's a full on... You know, it's full on. Occasionally, rarely will I have to go, and it's not, you know, the full business. But so this is like the early stages of this. So what do I do? Do I take that stuff that you were taking?
No, that stuff you saw at Costco, that's sort of a natural plant-based thing. What is it again?
Salt palmetto or something?
Yeah. In other things. You could take that preventively. Is that a word, preventively?
No, I know what you mean. Proactively. Proactively. Preemptively.
Now, there's other things like... There's a product called Flomax.
Okay.
Which relaxes the prostate and allows urine to flow. And apparently, that's not a bad thing to take, although it is still a pharmaceutical.
And so, eventually, you had to have your prostate shaved, did you not?
Yes, I had to have a hole drilled in it.
And how's things now?
Fine.
Over there on Fred's prostate island.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Well, I think you never have that horrible urgency feeling. I can go golfing and drink a liter of water, and maybe the guy I'm golfing with might go 3 or 4 times, and I go...
Not Freddy.
Only when I get back to the clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, oftentimes in the summer when it's really hot, I'll drink liters of water during a round of golf and never have to go.
No, because you're sweating it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that. There's a Leaf thing I want to bring up later if we get a chance. SNL paid a tribute to Norm Macdonald. That I wanted to chat with you if we can. But we have some people that have been so kind and have been emailing us. Hang on, there's two things playing at the same time. Yes, I know, Dan. Yes, I know. Email. I always say that.
Hi, guys.
Because, you know, I feel like anytime that there's two things happening, I feel like Dan starts to cringe and says out loud, "Get a mouse! Get a mouse, Howard!" And a mouse wouldn't have fixed that. Okay. Anyway, you got the Humble and Fred at Humble and Fred Radio. Is it still radio? Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. That is our address. Fred, who's the first email from today?
Mike Bertrand. Hi, guys. I'm a little behind and just heard you say the joke about Bangkok. I can't remember that. I think that was you, Howard.
Yeah.
The joke about Bangkok.
Well, no, he right. He puts the joke down there. That's the same joke, yeah.
No, the same. Oh, that's the one you did, or is
yeah?
He
that is the one. That's basically
cookie?
The.
Okay, I always do it when I open a fortune cookie. Man, go through airport turnstile sideways. Surely going to Bangkok.
Okay.
Cheers, fella. I don't recall you telling
Hi,
that.
Guys.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Hi guys.
Hi guys.
I recall it because as soon as I saw it, I went, "Oh, that's perfect for Freddie." This is from Ed Flynn. He says, "Hey, fellas, great to hear the Maritimes / Atlantic Canadian content in the opening segment. This was on Thursday. You might need to brush up on the geography a little bit. I admit it. You know, I don't feel good about the fact that I'm not as familiar with East Coast geography as I am, obviously, with the Western Canadian, you know, geographical place in the world, because I'm from there." He says, "But good to hear you've been there, here, and will come back. Hey, Freddie, if you head to Newfoundland to play some golf, Twin Rivers at Terra Nova East Coast is legendary, and Humber Valley Resort West Coast, I guess, in Newfoundland, is a beauty, too. Then he goes on to say, been listening to the podcast over the last few years, was an avid listener back in your CFNY/Edge days, and ended up being interviewed one morning. I saw you guys at a job fair, called in to the Quip line, or whatever it was, got a call back from a producer and a wake-up call a day or two later, and that is from Ed. And we say thank you, Ed. Okay?
Yes.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
And I think we have one more there, do we not, there, Frederick?
This is from Newman. Jeff Newman. Hi, guys.
Newman.
I lived in Moncton for 3 years not too long ago, which is a short drive to Shediac, and I can confirm the giant lobster is certainly not as big as you would think. Something I did not know before living in New Brunswick was that many people there eat their lobster cold. I once stopped at the side of the road to buy lobster from some guy and asked him how long I needed to boil the already cooked lobster, and he looked at me like I had three heads. So I tried it cold, and it's even better than when you have it straight out of the boiling pot, and it's not as messy.
If I can jump in, I agree with him. Like,
okay, yes.
I'm not frozen, but a nice cool lobster. Somehow the texture is different. It's a little, it sort of retains more of its meatiness.
Mm.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So when I go into a swanky restaurant now and I have the serving trip, I'll say, can I have my lobster cold?
That's right. Could you cook it? And then cool it down. Anyway, it goes on to say some more things.
Anyway, your show makes me laugh. Back when you guys were on CFNY, the first half hour of your show, 5:30 to 6, was always the best part because for whatever reason, you were giving more latitude to talk longer.
Yeah.
Although you could not swear, the humor was very similar to what you do now. Oh, congrats, man, on 10 years, and that's from Newman.
Thank you, Newman. You know, I read that this morning before I sent it to you, and I wouldn't say it gave me a heavy feeling, but I remember those days, especially with you and I. We were loose. We did longer breaks. The 5:40 break was just, you know, for people who maybe you would care. Fred and I, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., had every break planned. Not exactly what we were going to say, but every break was planned. 7:50 was a goo head. 8:10 was going to be the humble report. 8:20 was this. And because it was planned in terms of what would happen, oh, you know, we were going to do a parody song at 8:40. You know, it was pretty regimented, even though it sounded spontaneous. And yes, what we were saying to one another was at 5:40 and 5:50, there was no plan. I think the odd time we might have rerun a bit from the day before. Do you remember when we would sort of start off with some highlight from the show? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is those breaks were very loose, kind of relaxed. Our bosses didn't care. Again, here's a little inside radio. Because ratings didn't start, I don't think, until 6. Well, whatever it was, we were way more, you know, we got given latitude to kind of just do whatever we wanted for 5 or 6 minutes. And I used to remember as the show began at 6, I thought, that's too bad because those would be the two best breaks we do all day. You know.
Yeah.
They were. God, no, I get damn it.
But you can't have that time back. You know that.
No, I know. Happy that it happened.
You know, there was one more email here from our buddy Rod Johnson.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Hang on a second.
Okay.
I know. I was just doing a little reflecting, okay? Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's like a little moment of reflection. And by the way, before we get to our guests in about 10 minutes, let's make sure that everyone knows this section brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. The emails today brought to you by the Sherpa. Our guests today brought to you by GigSky. But we will talk about the Sherpa after we finish these emails. Go!
You know, I'm not going to read all this. It's we really appreciate this, Rod Johnson. You know, he says congratulations on 10 years. And he listened to our Toronto Mike episode, loved it, thought it was great. And then he touches on Patreon and gives us several ideas on what we could do to satisfy or service Patreon subscribers, so to speak. And we really appreciate all these ideas will be taken into consideration, because now that we get into October, we have been thinking about doing more Patreon broadcasts.
You know, there's a really good chance that we might do a special one this Thursday, depending on where you are. Where I think we talked about that at the meeting. Mm-hmm. We might just pop in and do one from 6 to 7 on Thursday. Details after today's show. Okay? I'm just saying something. So do you want to do the Sherpa? I think that would be... That would be appropriate Tim? Now. And by the way, Niblet, he's such a good guy. He didn't even care. I said, dude, we missed your spot. He's like, whatever. He doesn't care.
Well, because he's a wonderful, wonderful man. Yeah. Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. I was thinking a lot about him last night. I was lying in bed listening to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game against the New England Patriots, Tom Brady's return to New England, and the Tampa broadcast is heavily sponsored by Raymond James. So I kept thinking of our man Tim, who, if you have a portfolio that you want someone to have a second look at, he will do it. No strings attached, no obligation. He'll look at it, give you the straight goods. If you want to build something from scratch, same thing. Tim will, you know, sit down with you, explain it all. You'll feel very good about where your money is going. This has happened with several Humble and Fred listeners. And again, the results and the feedback has been fantastic. He's the Retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett, retirementsherpa.ca.
By the way, what's going on with Brady? I know we're at what, week three now? Didn't they win the first game?
Week four,
sorry.
And you know what? I'm looking right now because, again, obviously, while listening, I fell asleep. And I don't even actually know who ultimately won that game. I do know that New England was giving Tampa Bay a pretty good tussle there.
Oh, yeah. Can you answer the question, how many games has... the 80-year-old Tom Brady won this year already?
I think they're 3-1 now.
So they pretty good.
They beat the Patriots 19-17 last night.
Nice. Our Gig Sky guests of the day are coming up. But first, what you should know about Gig Sky is something that I think is an important, you know, kind of marker along the way as we return to some semblance. I'm not ready to call it, but... Definitely people are starting to have their anxiety eased when it comes to flying and going internationally. Gig Sky's latest service offering include... by the way, I saw Rudra, too, Saturday. I just ran into him. He and his buddy, Collie, a guy I met, were playing my golf course on Saturday. There's Rudra. Guy's walking around. He's got two new hips. His buddy's got a new knee. They're just... And I asked them, how's it going? They both look great. You know, it's amazing the kind of technology. It's similar, the kind of science that went into making mobile data a reality from Gig Sky. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile and see the list of partner airlines. Things are loosening up, as I mentioned. You can get your Gig Sky data plan when you travel to 190 countries worldwide. It's really quite impressive. I mean, whether you're pulling up directions or looking for the coolest restaurants or bar, gigsky.com. Download the app today and enter the code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan. That's gigsky.com. Okay, it's going to get busy now. Our Gig Sky guest of the day, getting settled in here, Helen Tanzi. Hey. Who I haven't talked to Helen Tanzi since I was a young man, and I'm embarrassed because you know she's going to be like, oh my God, look at you, what happened to you? And I'm going to say, I don't, I got old. Helen Tanzi is a photographer. Diane Wiseman is a fitness coach. She's even going to be more disgusted by what we look like.
Hello.
And, hi, are you going to turn your camera on, or is this going to be like one of those things where
is
I can't...
Is my camera... Oh, hang on.
Neither of your cameras are on, okay, feminine warriors?
I don't even know how to turn my camera on.
Well, there's a little... There's a little thing on the bottom that says stop video.
Ah.
And you just unclick that. There you go.
There
she is. Hi, darling. Helen.
Hello, Helen. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Fred. Hello.
There's Fred. Diane, you going to turn your camera on or
it doesn't? I thought I had it on.
No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hi. No. No camera.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
Can you hear me at least?
Yeah, of course.
We can hear you.
Okay.
I was trying to explain to Fred, Helen, how we had come to be, we were acquainted because of a mutual friend that Dan Duran and I know, our friend. Oh, there she is. Hi,
that's
Diane.
Right.
Hi.
Hi, Diane.
And I can't remember what you're related, because you were friends with Liz Ramis and I was friends. We all knew Liz from casting and such, and that's how we sort of know one another.
Yes.
But it's been a long time, and obviously you're aging better than I am because you're stunning. And and this is what's happened to me. You know, I got to be in my 60s.
I think you look amazing.
No, because it's the camera.
You do. No.
You know what I remember about you?
What else are you going to say?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to say? Oh, no, you look horrid. What else do you remember from me when I was young?
I remember because you and I used to meet at a lot of when Liz would have parties in her weddings.
Yes, many weddings, many parties.
Many weddings. But one of the things is that you always hated was at house parties when people would start dancing.
Oh,
when
yes.
They would turn on music and start dancing in their house parties, and you hated that. As soon as that's happened, you're like, I'm out of here, I'm leaving.
Yeah, that sounds like me. By the way, still hate it.
Yeah.
See no reason for it.
Still hate it.
Did he make everyone in the room sort of feel uncomfortable?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what you two were talking about.
Funny,
he was good at that in the 80s.
Fred, I have a funny... he was. Mm-hmm. And then, Fred, I remember years ago listening to you on the radio, and I had to pull my car over because I was laughing so hard. And you were telling a story about you were heading up north, and your wife and daughter were in another car, and you dropped and you went to a gas station. And you tried to pick her up at the gas station and you were yelling over her, but nobody knew that you guys were married.
Right.
And it was a very funny story. Do you remember that?
Yes. Probably I used not. To embarrass my family a lot. That I remember. Yes, I do that story.
Yes.
Right.
And you were like, hey, you were trying to pick her up and people were like looking. And then,
yeah, anyway, I know.
It was a very funny story.
Because we were sort of an odd couple, too, because I knew people would be looking going, that guy thinks he has a chance with
that's
her.
That's right.
That's pathetic.
Right. Now, so, Diane, what you've learned about us is that I make people uncomfortable and Fred's hilarious.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you two. You know, in the world of podcasting, Humble and Fred are about to celebrate. We're about to celebrate 10 years of doing this. On Thursday, October 14th, we will probably record our, I don't know, Freddie, our 3,000th podcast. And it's a crowded space. I hate using that word, but it's crowded. And so I'm kind of curious what brought you two together, number one. And number two, what's the Feminine Warrior podcast all about? Diane, maybe you'd like to begin.
You go, Diane.
Well, I initially met Helen because she's an incredible photographer. She was taking pictures for branding for me, but when we met, we instantly became friends. We shared sort of like commonalities and how we viewed the world. And through that friendship, that's where Feminine Warrior became.
And what are some of the things there's a couple of things that happened recently, and I thought of you two being on the show today, and I thought, I wonder if this is something you guys would cover. Why don't you tell me what the Feminine Warrior podcast is, Helen, and then I'll ask you this question that I've been saving for the weekend.
Yeah, I think that we wanted to create a platform to help women share their stories, men too, but specifically women share their stories. And a lot of times, people talk about all the great things in their life, but when they get to the great things, they have to go through a lot of struggles or darkness to get there. And that's actually where you learn, where you grow. So we're interviewing women and talking to them about their stories, about even challenges that they've had in their life and what they've learned from that, and hoping that when other women hear it or other people hear it, that it also gives them permission, or it helps them understand that they're not alone in what they're going through and that there is another side to it.
And this isn't necessarily relationship based. It could be anything.
Could be anything. It could be, you know, we had Monica Schneer on, and she talked about where, at the beginning of her career, you know, she was a supermodel and then things changed, but how, you know, she transitioned out of that, how she, found that space to find herself and her own voice. So it's not just about relationships. It's about what we go through in everyday life.
So a couple of things happened on the weekend, and I was thinking, oh, I should bring that up with Helen and Diane. One of them was the, I think, an anniversary of Anita Hill testifying at the confirmation of... what's the guy? Everything was going well until I forgot the guy's name.
The judge.
And
here come the judge.
Here come the... what was his name? Clarence Thomas,
yes. Right.
So a couple things. It was an anniversary of that, and Anita Hill has was featured in a documentary, and then juxtaposing that with Brett Kavanaugh and his confirmation. And one of the things they talked about in the story is how a lot of women... were given sort of the freedom to come forward, sort of as you were just saying about sharing their story. Are those the kind of things you would talk about on the Feminine Warrior podcast?
Absolutely. I think that, and also...
Sorry, you go, Di. No, you go ahead.
Oh. We're so nice. I think so. It's about that struggle and about helping women rise and helping them find their voice, or having their voice and having a platform where they can share and talk about their struggles and their accomplishments.
Yeah.
We live in a world where we sort of have to create this veneer of perfection, but really it's just our wounds that connect us. So when we sort of collectively come together and share our wounds, we see that they're pretty much the same for all of us.
And there was Anita Hill, a young black woman, testifying at the confirmation of a black judge. And they did this thing. There's a technique where you make the accuser becomes the victim in that, and there was no, all that was were white men judging her testimony. Again, 30 years later, there they were similarly at the Kavanaugh hearing. And so I wonder if part of the Feminine Warriors to look back and see that women have been given more of a voice and yet are still silenced in a lot of these areas.
Absolutely. Can you imagine her courage to stand up or to voice in front of a panel of people she knows that aren't really going to accept what she has to say, but she shows up anyways.
Yeah.
You know, our society, you know, North American society, we talk a big game when it comes to breakthroughs for women, and, you know, all sorts of examples are given and look what we're doing here and look what we're doing there, but there's still a long way to go. And I think we saw that again through the Kavanaugh thing, through the Trump stuff, just a lot of things that happen nowadays with big, powerful people. Women are still pushed to the background.
Oh, yeah.
But even it's happening now, like even with COVID, where women are the ones who are supposed to stay home and take care of their children. Like there still is that in simple little things like that, even, you know, where women, are working from home and taking care of their kids and having to work at night. And it's expected still that the women are the ones that do that and not the dads.
Yeah,
but don't you think, over the past couple of, we've made some inroads with that? Don't you think a lot more men now take on kids than generations before us? Like, I know I did. I know Howard did. Don't you think we've made some strides that way?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think so. And I think also, though, it's about being comfortable to be a woman in a position of power, not emulating a man in a position of power. I think that's a big shift. If you look at the Prime Minister of New Zealand, I really respect her. She seems to really walk that balance of being in a male-dominated world, yet still remaining a woman and being okay with that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned her, because Angela Merkel just stepped down. I think it was replaced as Chancellor of Germany. And I don't know why this fact surprised me, but she had been in charge for 16 years. It seemed, wow, I don't know what point I'm trying to make, other than she had been in that position longer than I seem to recollect. But, you know, and Fred and I have both said this, it is long overdue for a woman to be prime minister, president. Those are great examples, New Zealand and Germany, where there's a different tone, I think, in the corporate world and politically when women are in charge. And we're not just saying that because you two are here. And I agree with you, Helen, by the way. We've made strides, and Fred and I were different with our kids because we had jobs where we could be home all day. But I live in a complex here, and it's still the young moms who are staying home with those kids, and the husbands are out there doing what they do. So not everything has changed.
And when you talk of women of power, you mentioned Merkel or other examples. Women in power are held to a different standard, too. You know, a man's strong, a woman's a bitch. That's still part of it.
It's part of it, but I think that's that perception has changed, although they use that with Hillary.
But I remember, not fast enough. But anyway.
Yeah. I remember when watching Renee Fleming, and she's an opera singer, and she was being interviewed on 60 Minutes. And the interviewer was saying, your children are being raised by your husband and your nanny because you're working all the time. Like, do you feel guilty about that? And, that you're not there and you don't spend a lot of time with your kids. And she looked at the interviewer and she said, did you ask Placido Domingo this question?
Yeah, that's correct.
Luciano Pavarotti?
Yeah.
She
should have asked him that question. She should have said to the interviewer, who's raising your kids, you twerp?
But, this all comes straight. This is all, again, geared to income, and which is part of the problem, too. More often than not, the woman stays home with the child because she made the less amount of money, which is a problem, too, in our society.
Yes.
Equal pay for equal jobs is still, getting better, but still a problem.
Yeah.
Diane, that's where that comes from.
And I think it's really internalized. I mean, I think that's what we're about at the Feminine Warrior, taking that internalized shame or roles in which we kind of accept as how it's supposed to be in the world and sort of reshaping it and redefining it. I think that's what we're about, that, because I think real change is about the shift inward as opposed to an outward expression.
Yeah, and I think real change comes, I agree that it's not some societal cultural shift. It starts with people internally. Diane Wiseman is a fitness coach. Helen Tansey is with us, a photographer and the host of the Feminine Warrior podcast. I have a couple questions about your lives during the pandemic. Diane, let's start with you. Like, I know that fitness and all the yoga studios and gyms have been, pretty much decimated for the last 20 months. How have you continued to coach people remotely?
At first, I was really honestly hesitant to do online training with my clients. But when I made that shift, I really, really appreciated that. So I think that even the fitness industry on the whole is a complete transformation. I think it's about really fitting fitness more into your lives and your lives not into fitness. I think that I love when I go out now and I see a lot more people running and cycling and really understanding the importance of movement when it comes to overall health and well-being. So for myself, I think I'd like to remain more online. It's really, it really opens my reach to client base that I can work with. And also for myself personally, I'm able to do my own personal wellness and health and fitness, frees up a bit more of my time instead of driving around like a maniac.
No, and we have
long on the highway, client to client.
We used to broadcast from the studio that I'm in. And through COVID, we now broadcast where I am, where Fred is. He's at the lake at his house. But Helen, you're a photographer. How has that been affected? For the longest time, I can only imagine you weren't able to go and have personal interactions with people.
No, I had to. I wasn't able to shoot for the first couple of lockdowns. And then the last one, I was able to. So it was interesting. It brought up, my husband, luckily, is still has an amazing job. But I also felt like my kids needed me at that time, too. So as much as it was hard not being able to shoot and doing what I love, I also needed to be there for my kids to help them sort of navigate this.
In what way? Yeah. Psychologically, you mean? How to deal with
this? Yes. I mean, they're teenagers. Like, it was last year of high school, first year of high school. And just adjusting to it and being there for them. And definitely, I think that they both, were having little bits of anxiety and
I'm sure.
And just trying to create some sort of normalcy in a time when nothing was normal.
That's something we'll never be able to measure. I have grandkids 8 and 6. And all through it, they're school at home and everything seemed fine, but we'll really never know what impact it had on them because there's going to be no measuring stick. And teenagers, I can't imagine. You think the lives we had as teens, the social and being out and being free, and they're a couple of years are taken away from these kids, will we ever know what impact this had on them?
Well, it's such an important part of their development.
Yeah.
No, but I think what you said, and we've talked about this before, there's really no way to measure it with a 6 and an 8-year-old because they don't know what they don't know. Only we have the perspective of what was normal for us. But like a lot of things, you know, my two daughters, Helen, are now 23 and about to turn 27. And getting back to the... yeah, I know. That's hard to believe I'm that old. Getting back to the idea of feminine warriors, I'll tell you... Both of my daughters are different, I think, in that age. Life is different for them. What they've grown up with is different than it was for you two and other women. And I will tell you, it's like that old thing about once something is seen, it can't be unseen. The the younger women of today, they're not walking back. Like I said, you know, they're different. I've got to be careful what I say to both of them because they're not taking any shit from anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's interesting what you said too, Howard, because I think with Diane and I in doing this podcast also that, you know, as we grow older, as Diane and I and women our generation, we're breaking new ground of what aging is and what being a woman is. And we're also sort of, you know, paving the road for younger women, right? To help them sort of rise and help them feel better about who they are as women in, you know, from every aspect of what they look like to their feelings, to their thoughts, to their jobs. So I think as women, as, you know, mature women, that we also have that responsibility too to help women, younger women grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Howard touched on it earlier, and we've made the point many times on the podcast that we need more women, powerful women, world leaders. Like Hillary Clinton came close to being the president of the United States. I would love to see the most powerful person on earth be a woman, just for once.
Absolutely.
What do you, like, is it wrong just to do the gender thing and just because she's a woman, I want her in that position? But I really want to see what happens. And what do you guys think of that? Because I just think there will be a whole different texture to the world if a woman's in that position.
That's what I was saying. The tone is different when women are in charge.
Yep. No,
absolutely.
I agree.
And also, so go ahead, hon.
No, you go.
Okay, you go, Diane.
You go.
Okay,
you
go. I'll go. Absolutely. I think women work collectively.
Yes.
I think that would create a completely different stage. And then I also think to have an atmosphere in which a woman would be in the most powerful position really reflects a really shift in consciousness. So that would be very exciting as well.
I think women work collectively and collaboratively in a way that men don't sometimes because of that. You know, I'm just reading my fourth book right now on the Trump presidency, another one written by Bob Woodward. And it's pretty scary when you think that juvenile narcissistic fuckhead was in charge. And you just wonder, would any of this have happened? Would that insurrection have happened if Hillary Clinton, oh, my God, her emails, Helen, if she'd been in charge?
No, you're right. And then even I remember when she did her after she lost the election and she spoke, I forget what it's called, but people were like going, oh, well, she had to show more of that side of herself during the campaigning, then maybe people would have voted for her. And I was like, no, that's not fair to say. You know, it's like she did. I think Trump completely he bullied her. Right, all the way through, but I think it shows more how there's still people that believe that that's what you want in a leader.
Yeah, well,
right.
He hoodwinked a nation, and she was the victim of it.
Like I just always remember the debates when he was like looming over.
No,
her,
I know.
Like,
yeah,
it's just like, oh,
he's, you know, again, that I felt, you know, there was a documentary on Hillary Clinton, and I'm sure you guys have seen it on Netflix. It's great. But, you know, the most qualified person, the person that got the most votes, and the person that would have handled this pandemic so much differently, never got elected. These are the kind of things you'll hear on the Feminine Warrior podcast, available wherever podcasts are distributed. Diane Wiseman, thank you so much for doing this with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us on your show.
Well, it's, and Helen, I'm much different now. At a house party, you might see me, you know, just
starting to dance.
Yeah, you know why?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Thank okay. you both for having us on the show.
It was our pleasure. Feminine Podcast Warrior, all the best to you, too. And thanks for dropping in. Nice seeing you again, Helen.
Lots of love.
Take all right, care. You guys. Take care.
Thank Bye. You very much.
The Geeks Guy, guest of the day, the host of the Feminine Warrior podcast. See you later, Diane. By the way, still not big on house parties where people just start to dance. Sorry. Sorry.
It's just people wanting to have a good time, Howard.
No, I know. I know.
People, you know, they work hard. They want to let go.
They're all right.
They're at a house. If somebody puts music on, it inspires them, and they dance. Why would you have a problem with that?
How about the next time you're at a house party, and the music comes on, you show me some video of you doing your thing.
Oh, you don't want to see that.
I do. I do. The Chamber Plan, Freddie. I'm sorry.
Did I just want to make one point there.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just, even, you know, it was 2016. The fact that Trump doing that to Hillary Clinton still worked.
Yeah, I know.
You would think by 2016, the world or the United States would look at that and go, look what he's doing. I'm voting for the woman. What kind of a creep? But it actually worked. There's still enough of that element in the United States that him intimidating a woman worked to his benefit. Like, it's... Yeah. It's too much, man.
Dude, can I call you dude? You know when I'm serious, yeah. I call you dude. Dude.
Dancing dude.
Dancing dude. Mm-hmm. It's humble and the dancing dude. At Costco yesterday, they had a physical copy, a book, like, you know, paper. And it's Bob Woodward's latest book on Trump called Peril. And it's all about the election. It's actually about the election. And Biden's rise, it's a little bit, you know, more on mm-hmm. Biden as well. It's not just Trump, but,
right.
you know, I'm in like 40 pages in. I'm sitting there with Rachel yesterday afternoon. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. You know, so you can always tell when I'm getting excited about a Trump book. But it's just the fact that he was able to squeak in there, to your point, that there were still enough people that looked at him and went, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a better choice. Mm-hmm. That, you know, choosing him... says everything you need to know about that country and where it's at, mm-hmm. you know, in this section of history.
You know, the big rich guy with the profile and the celebrity, that works on a lot of simpletons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the fact this great businessman thing, well, geez, you can run a country. The misogyny, all those things people bought into.
Yeah. And you'd think just you'd think any number of those things, the porn star checks, the grab them by the pussy, you'd think any one of those things, the taxes that never got reported, the bullshit health report, all that stuff. And I said this to Rachel, you think somewhere along the line, like, he's going to run in 2024 and probably win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, they're in a lot of trouble. Hey, but let's get to the Chamber Plan before we get too far along here, because we don't want to forget it.
No, of course we're not going to forget it. The Chamber Plan, Canada's number one yeah. group benefits plan for small business. Chamber's Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for businesses, say, 1 to 100 employees. A tight little group, you know, work together well, and you're proud of your employees. They do you a good job, so you think, you know what, it's time for a benefits plan. You can go to Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. It's all there. You know, you just give them all the details of your business, and you get all sorts of options on the level that you want to buy into. It's fantastic. There's all sorts of testimonials there with names and companies that have become part of the Chamber Plan and how it's worked for them. There's dental, and there's prescriptions, and there's travel insurance, and all sorts of therapy. Again, you can buy in at different levels. It's very simple to sign up. It's stable. It's been around for 40 years. 30,000 Canadian businesses part of it, and really the smart thing to do for your people. They'll love you for it. It's the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. Go to chamberplan.ca.
Friday, I had a meeting with one of our clients, Tim Daniels. Health Gauge, healthgauge.com. It's really quite something. The fact that I knew this, well, vaguely knew him and his family and Moose John, and every couple of weeks now I talk to him. Part of it is to, you know, little client relations, and the other part is I'm just fascinated by the fact that he's set up this life for himself in Florence, Italy. Anyway, we were talking quite a bit about the watch that day and about how, you know, he recommends it to all his friends because, you know, you get into your 50s and 60s and you're, you know, maybe your heart's not working as good as it could. Maybe your blood pressure is not where it's supposed to be. Maybe you're curious about your internal temperature. Maybe you want to know how many calories you're burning. And what did you say to me? You had a notification the other day about... Because I get the notification about drinking water. But did you say you got a note about your temperature was too high or something?
Yeah, if your body gets too hot, a thermometer shows up on the screen, the little face, and there's a vibration.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cool. Jesus.
It's cool.
You're cool.
Real cool.
You're cool, man. Healthgauge.com.
And I get my $8,000, or my 8,000 step reward or congratulations.
Yeah. See, I don't have any of those notifications. I really should. I got the water set up somehow. But I want, next time we're together, can you show me how to set it up so I get a cheer when I get to 10,000 steps, which I did on Saturday? Mm-hmm. HealthGauge.com. Get a friend help you. We're wearing the HealthGauge Phoenix, and you can get yours too. Go to HealthGauge.com and print in promo code HumbleFred15 for 15% off at purchase.
Just to back up a bit, so you actually bought that book?
I did.
Have you not got enough information about what a vile human being he was? Because I'm concerned because you get riled up and...
I know.
Which leads to me to something I saw in 60 Minutes last night, but...
The whistleblower proceed. Lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the audio of it, if you want to hear it. No, I know, and I, she... We can. One is sort of not. I know why you're relating those two things together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose to buy that book because unlike watching a Facebook post, you know, it's been researched by real human beings. You know, like unlike Sally from West Virginia, who heard from QAnon that Trump's a B. You know, this is a grown man, Bob Woodward, who has researched this stuff, and it's fascinating to me. Anyway, explain what we're talking about in terms of Facebook last night on 60 Minutes, and I'll get to the audio. Well,
how it's really damaged society around the world. And it's something that you look up the segment. I can't sit here and do it justice.
Well, I'm going to play you there's 45 seconds that'll sort of put it into context for people if you
it's
want.
It's just this woman that worked on the inside and wanted to work in the misinformation end of it. Frances Hogan or something.
Yes. Frances Haugen.
Haugen.
H-A-U-G-E-N.
At every turn, when it became doing right for society or making money, Facebook always goes after the financial end of it and how it's hurt society. And prior to the election, they put in some safeguards. And then once the election was over, they took it off. And this she blames January 6th on that move by Facebook. Anyway, on and on and on. And how miserable it's made so many people.
Okay. But to ask why would I buy a book on the subject of Trump, again, I'm going to say that my argument would be it's different. I'm reading a researched, you know, thick, credible source. I'm going to play you the clip that she just hang on one second. I was telling Dan to stand by.
But the only thing I would say about the book, Howard, and I totally agree with that, other than the fact that, you know, as you flip those pages, it's going to put you in another level of.
Yes and
sort
no.
Sort of rage. Well, rage against the guy, and what more do we need to know about what a bastard he was?
Nothing
is all. Yeah,
for sure. I'm not getting any new information about that, but there is new information I find fascinating about the back room, the dealings, how it was main, all that, and the history of why Biden started to think about, you know, running. You know, at some point,
sure.
Yep. You know, he was way out of it. But here's a little clip that will explain what Fred and I were talking. In case you missed 60 Minutes last night, the point she's making is that Facebook rewards like human behavior inflammatory messages.
In 2018,
Haugen told us the root of Facebook's problem is in a change that it made in 2018 to its algorithms, the programming that decides what you see on your Facebook newsfeed.
So, you know, you have your phone. You might see only 100 pieces of content if you sit and scroll off for, you know, 5 minutes. But Facebook has thousands of options it could show you.
The algorithm picks from those options based on the kind of content you've engaged with the most in the past.
And one of the consequences of how Facebook is picking out that content today is that it is optimizing for content that gets engagement or reaction. But its own research is showing that content that is hateful, that is divisive, that is polarizing, it's easier to inspire people to anger than it is to other emotions.
And I just wanted to stop it there, because that is so true of human nature. It's the old thing of bad news travels fast, and it's how gossip works, is that we often share salacious things about people that we know to, I don't know, get a dopamine hit of whatever. Very rarely do you say, hey, I ran into so-and-so. He's doing great. You know, he's just having a great time, because it's a boring story. But that's what Facebook does. That's why it's so dangerous, because it rewards your interest in the puerile and, you know, the negative, really.
The way I look at it, it's, I don't know what the word is, frustrating or whatever. You know, it's still, the power still rests with the people.
Yep.
Just go down to what is at the left-hand side and delete your account, and you're free of it. Because it's just not, it's not good, and we know it. And more information about what a wonderful thing it can be, and it is on some levels, but more and more is becoming this tool for polarizing people. Who'd have thought, eh? Yeah. 20 years ago, we'd be in this situation with something like that.
And who would have thought Facebook, which started off as a way to sort of keep in touch, and we were all enamored with it in the late 2007s, 8, 9s, and 10s, and all that. And now, listening to her, it should scare you, because it's what's turned all these people into QAnon, you know, idiots. Because their whole feeds are filled with these opinions that support their nonsensical, you know, theories.
And, you know, they touched on Instagram as well, and teenage girls especially.
Yeah.
How damaging it is. Like, you know, body image and so many things that a young teenage girl, boys too, but they touched more mostly on young teenage
for
girls,
sure.
And how horrible Instagram has turned out to be for that group of people.
I can't imagine. Yeah, no, my kids were teenagers in the Facebook world, and it was devastating. I remember saying this to you once. I said, you know, it used to be in grade 9 or 10, if you didn't get invited to a party, you didn't know about it. You might never know about it or just hear about it on Monday. In the Facebook era, you don't get invited to a party. You see that in real time. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it'll break your heart.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what Dan Duran's Facebook feed is. Just a bunch of guys with big wieners. Hi, yeah, Dan.
No, it's not the lie, by the way.
Dan,
yeah, good morning.
Dan.
Hello. How are you today?
Dan.
Are you missing working with a mouse yet?
Oh, you're hilarious, Dan.
It's a brand new month. Maybe this is the month.
Mouse month.
Mouse month, yeah.
Danny, how was Eastern Canada? Were you out there with fucking Eastern Canadians? Were they all talking like this?
Yeah, there was some of that. And it was stunning. I mean, I've never, I was talking to Fred last night. I've never actually made the drive, which Fred has, to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I've flown in a few times. I've never really spent any time in New Brunswick, like one night.
New Brunswick?
New Brunswick, yeah. But the drive is stunning. And the fall colors are there now. It's happened. The week I was gone, it was like just stunning.
Okay.
So if you ever have an opportunity to make that drive, it is a long one. Break it up, you know. But it is stunning.
Just give me some perspective. You left it from here to Shediac was what, 2 days drive or 18?
No, it was 12 hours or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
10, 12 hours somewhere in there.
But you know, you need time the time I went out, it was 10 or 11 days. It wasn't enough. I didn't even get to Halifax. And then I'm talking to another friend on the weekend because next summer I want to go to Newfoundland. He said they were in Newfoundland for 3 weeks and it wasn't enough. Like, that's a pretty big landmass with a lot to offer, depending on what your interests are. So, again, 3 weeks just on Newfoundland.
Wow.
And you could easily, you know, Cape Breton Island, PEI, Nova Scotia, you need some time.
Okay.
You can't whip in and out in a week or 10 days. You just can't do it.
When I was there in Halifax 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2019, I can't remember, I went to Cabot Links. And even the drive from Halifax over to that side of the island, it is something else. And again, being Western Canadians, you know, we're very familiar with, you know, what, you know, driving west from Calgary is pretty remarkable. You just did it recently with your brother's cabin and such. But yeah, it's as I said, Dan, I don't really know that geography that much, but I would love to do it as well. Are you ready, by the way, for the news, Dan? Are you going to do some news for us today?
Sure, I got a story. Yeah, I got
right.
a story.
Well, hang on a second then, my friend. Right. Hang on a second, Dan.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from his trailer, next to Fred's trailer. Soon it'll be the end of trailer season.
Here's, 1 week to go.
Here's Dan DeRue. Ladies and gentlemen,
today is National Cinnamon Bun Day.
Yeah.
To celebrate sin with a bun. There's a cover-up in Dubai.
Okay.
What?
No, I just laugh at it. That's funny.
Sin with a bun?
Sin with
what
a bun.
Yeah. I don't know. Right, I put it together. Matter. You know, my mind works. There is a cover-up in Dubai. At the delayed Expo 2020 in Dubai, the Italians brought with them a life-size 3D-printed exact replica of the Statue of David. But it's Dubai, and Michelangelo's work of art is porn. The statue is naked and probably has the most famous penis in the world.
Mm-hmm. Besides yours.
No. And Dubai is not into penis parts on display.
Have you seen the size of his wiener, though? It's tiny. The famous statue of David, it's a tiny wiener.
Yeah. Not well, it's a perspective thing. Yeah, it's not a large one. Yeah,
no, but I mean, it's
or anything. Yeah,
no, I'm just saying, like, the guy got he got sculptured, and for the rest of time, people, first thing they notice is that guy didn't have very much wiener.
But some gentlemen, Howard, in a flaccid state, once erect, there's a huge difference. It doesn't necessarily. A ratio thing, you know that.
Are you saying the statue is a grower, not a shower? Is that what you're saying? All right. Hey, listen.
Probably.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. Dan Duran, good reporting. Is there more?
No, I'm just going to say how they figured it out.
Yes.
To cover it up, they built a viewing stage. So you can see the top part and go downstairs and see the bottom part. And the floor in between blocks... The junk.
David's junk.
Junk blocker, yeah.
Junk blocker. Have you got junk blocker on your computer? I do. Is junk blocker enabled on this site?
So you can look down and not see anything.
Yeah.
But if you're in the VIP section below and you press your face right up against the glass and look up, you can get a sort of impaired view of that member.
That's what Fred and I do. We look down, we see nothing.
Mm-hmm. And Dubai, isn't this mostly a society that if you die with honor, you get seven virgins or something?
It's part of the United Arab Emirates, and it's Dubai is one emirate.
But you can't look at the statue of a little
dinky.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, anyway. Hey, man. Just good weird. Rules. Good rules. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Dan, is there a second story you're going to stick around?
No, I'm working on stories now that we're back. News reporter structure is getting back in.
Do you remember Paul Schubert, Dan, the guy who was our Zoom intern for a while?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, Schubert, I think he's going to come in here and give us a report. He, a master impressionist, and and was doing the show from, I guess, a fort in his parents' basement. He's still there. Look at him.
Now it looks like a tent.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, no,
it always kind of, that was always the vibe. Mm-hmm. He was always like, I'm doing this. Like he put a blanket over some a couch mm-hmm. and a chair. Mm-hmm. Paul Schubert, welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, how are you, Humble Howard and Freddie P?
Very good,
and
pal.
And say hi to Dan Duran for crying out loud.
Dan Duran, sorry, how can
yeah,
I forget?
Dan Duran. Yeah.
So, hey, how are you, man?
Didn't you intern at the CBC or do something over there?
I interned with them from February to March.
And how long did you, just remind the audience, how long were you interning with us and what were the dates? Do you remember?
So I believe it was the first Thursday in January was the first time I interned
with 2021 or 2020?
2021.
Oh, really? So yeah, was it this year?
Yeah, it was this year. It was
and so how long were you with us?
About 3.5 weeks.
That was it?
Yes, I know. 3.5 weeks goes by fast.
So we've never been in the same room with you, is that?
No.
I'm trying to figure this timeline. No. Okay, right. Wow.
Hello, darkness.
I would have never guessed that.
I would have thought he was with us longer than 3.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you left us.
Absolutely.
You made a huge impression, obviously. You left us, and you went to CBC and made everyone aware that that was your dream, and that's awesome. And so you're here to tell us you got a job at the CBC.
Yeah, so I would actually like to keep away from that for the time being, if that's okay with you. I'm in a bit of a... I'm in the middle of something, and I actually prefer if we just actually leave chatting about it with... For the time being, I can assure you that I'm in between jobs for the time being.
Okay. I'm not sure what the hell
So you don't want us to, what, discuss CBC?
I'm sorry?
You don't want us to discuss any aspect of the CBC?
For the time being, okay. Yes. If that's okay. If that's okay with you guys.
Sure. I don't, yeah, it's fine.
So you asked us for a job, so why did you do that if you're on the verge of, you know?
Well, that's a very good question.
I think it was a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
something's developed in the past few days, obviously.
Yeah.
So again, I'm in between jobs in the CBC right now.
Right.
I was doing a job and kind of didn't pan out as expected.
Okay.
But now I'm trying. Interested that I'd be deployed, that I might be deployed somewhere else.
Well, so because as Fred just stated, one of the reasons you were going to come on is because you sent us a note asking for a job. And so here you are. But you don't need that job anymore.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear back. I don't know how much longer I'm going to wait.
Okay.
It's a little complicated.
It sounds complicated, but that's fine. Life's complicated.
Thank you.
And all is well with you. And one of the things that people remember, Dan, I'm not sure if you do, but in your 3.5 weeks with us, you started doing impressions. And, you nailed a lot of these famous voices. Are you doing some of that at the CBC, or are you not allowed to talk about that?
I haven't been doing my impressions because I'm not doing on-the-air stuff, more or less. But I'm doing something totally different for the time being.
Nice.
How do I say it? Like, I still do my impressions in my spare time because I'm still trying to build as a possible voice acting career as
well. Of course, yeah.
So I can do my Forrest Gump impressions because it's I was running G.
Like running G. You nailed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the G part, yeah.
Then to start, you're going to need a little duct tape because I'm red green.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Would it put you on the spot? What about do you do a Norm MacDonald? He passed away recently.
No, that's
work
actually
on that.
I will work on that. That's actually there's actually I remember when you told me to do a Robin Williams impression. I actually looked at some videos for that. That was actually a pretty hard one to do.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No. Where are you with it?
I've long since forgotten about.
Yeah, don't worry about that. So give us your top three that you do. Mm-hmm.
I'd say my Forrest Gump one.
Yeah, that was good. Running.
I was. Now you wouldn't believe me if I told you that I could run like the wind blows. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
Very good. Okay, so that's Forrest Gump.
It's Donald Trump. I'm here on Humble and Fred right now. It's going to be the best live show. Only the best for the time being.
Okay, very nice, Donald Trump.
And
Who a lot of people believe. I'm sure you're one of them, and he's still the president.
Yeah. Well, I closed my eyes. I thought the guy was on our show.
I'm like, how did we get Trump? And then what's your other favorite?
Right here, right now. Right
now. Stop. It's too much.
I'm sorry.
Excuse Who's me? That? Man with cancer? What?
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm having a seizure, a heart attack, and a stroke at the same time.
Wow.
So sorry, guys.
All right. So that's okay. Trump and Forrest Gump. Trump and who?
One more.
One more, and then we're going to let you go.
Hi, Pluto. Oh, there's lots of some bad guys. It's
Mickey That's pretty Mouse. Good, actually.
Oh, Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Trump, Mouse, Gump, yeah. and Mouse.
Pretty well, more or less.
Well, listen, man, we wish you the best of luck, and keep us... there's no job here. Ask Dan. He's been trying. There's no job
yeah,
here.
No
there's
job
nothing.
Here,
there's nothing.
Yeah.
We got no job, man. David, you got some coffee? I did. David's, my brother David's here. He's...
Hi, David.
Yeah, okay. Don't say hi to David. Yeah.
All right, sorry, man.
No, it's not you, David. It's Paul. He's crazy. Okay. Paulie, good luck to you, man. Let us know how you land. Again, unfortunately, the Humble and Fred Show is not hiring right now. But, of course, if we That's were. Fine. And thanks for reaching out to us.
You're very welcome. I miss you guys an awful lot. And I really
I know, because those were some great times, those 3.5 weeks you were with us.
Yeah, I like... Yeah, I like, I just, you guys, I had just, between two different internships I had, I just enjoyed my time with just exposing myself to a variety of different things.
Of course, yeah.
Well, we open the doors that others don't, right? For young people.
Yeah.
The CBC, they didn't give you like, you know.
You weren't doing Trump impressions at CBC.
Yeah,
you
know. No way.
No, I was doing something totally different, but hey, you know, one day maybe.
Okay,
day, maybe.
Well, listen, all the best to you, Paulie. Take care.
Yeah, I hope you have a great rest of the day.
You too, man.
Fred. You guys are the best. And Dan Duran.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, buddy. So anyway, go check out that Facebook. Go check out 60 Minutes from last night. Just talking about Facebook. Also, Dan Duran. I didn't see it. And I think I know the answer, Dan, but maybe you can explain. So I went to Rolling Stone, the online version of the magazine, and the headline was SNL pays tribute to Norm Macdonald, and they have the story, the body of the story is there, but the video of them talking about Norm and playing a clip, I guess what they did is they ended Weekend Update with about a minute of Norm Macdonald stuff. So Dan, why does it say this video is not available in your area? I know it's called geo-blocking, but why would NBC... Or if anyone knows the answer,
no, because
why isn't that available?
Because when they sell the rights to any of that stuff, they go to networks outside of the U.S. Canada, it's blocked because Global is paid for that. So if you want to see Global, you go to the Global.
I should go to the Global site. Okay. Because right. I looked around several different places, YouTube, and I'm glad you said that, because I would assume it was on a Canadian broadcaster.
Yeah. So okay. They're the host broadcaster in Canada, and the same thing would happen if you were in the UK and you wanted to do the same thing. The only way you can get around it is using a VPN.
Yeah. You know, they...
Which are... You know what? VPNs are a great deal, like for 10, 11 bucks a month. They're fantastic, especially when you're traveling and you want to listen to stuff from home. But it shows you the World Wide Web isn't everything it claims to be nowadays with all this blocking going on.
Well, and after the Ryder Cup, I didn't see any of it live, so I went to the Golf Channel. I wanted to watch some of the highlights, and again, for a period of time, and that's the other thing I wanted to ask you guys, it's not forever. It's just like they have like a 24-hour or a 48-hour embargo on that content.
Well, it depends on the content, obviously. And then maybe if you went to the TSN site or whoever broadcasts in Canada.
Yeah.
You could probably see it there.
Okay.
On the TSN Go.
And speaking of entertainment, sports, or whatever, there's a Leafs documentary. I'm going to give it a shot. It's called, it's on Amazon Prime, and it's called All or Nothing. But I think it should be called All or Nothing, ... but mostly nothing. How do you like that joke? Yeah. I wrote that joke this morning.
That's fantastic.
All or nothing, ... but mostly nothing.
It's funny, but it's also sad.
Yes.
And true. I have no interest in watching that. I might out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Will Arnett narrates it, I guess.
Yeah.
Him and Brendan Shanahan have a relationship. Maybe it came that way.
So how does it work? Is a documentary for a day-to-day kind of what goings on in the Leaf world or what?
Yeah, they followed the Leafs down the stretch before the playoffs, and the whole idea was they were going to do it, and the way it looked, the Leafs were going to have a pretty good playoff run, come out of the Canadian division at the very least, and then, you know, that was stopped by the Habs in the first round, so I don't know how they deal with this thing. I mean, that's why I'd want to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be so much more than it is. But it just, oh. I don't know, the whole idea.
So this is all past tense then. I thought it had everything to do with the upcoming season.
No. It's like one of those dogs. I'm going to watch it because now the golf season's winding down in the next couple of months. I'll be looking. But I just find that kind of content fascinating. I look inside the world of, whether it's the Leafs or professional sports teams, I really like that sort of a glimpse in the day-to-day goings-on of the. And I am interested in it, not just because it's the Leafs, but because I wonder what a modern NHL team is like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But can you imagine if they had done what the Habs did and had gone to the final, how great that series could have been?
Well, it would be too much.
But who knows? Really, maybe, you know? Maybe with the dismal failure that they were, maybe it's good because of that. They've created, something to make that compelling some way. I don't know.
My brother David's here. We're going golfing. See, Dan, do you remember David? He used to be our neighbor. He's our neighbor. Yeah. We lived in a fourplex, and Dan and I were roommates. In one of the, it was like a huge multi-level townhouse thing. And David and one of his eight wives or whatever was living next door to us. But I was with, this is actually a story about my brother Steven. I did Gig Sky, yes. I did the whole thing. My brother Steven and I and Rachel went out for dinner in Burlington on Friday night. And we were at this sort of hotel restaurant bar. And at first, we were going to sit outside because it was a nice night. But, you know, like old people that we are, not Rachel, but Steven and I, you know, it was around 7:30. And then when the sun went down, it got a bit cool. You know, it wasn't that pleasant. It was getting a bit windy. Yes, it was nice looking at the water. So Steven, the server comes over and says, and Steven says, hey, would you mind if we moved inside? I have a condition. I start laughing. I was just looking at him because he doesn't actually. It's funny the way he did it because he goes, "Yeah, would you mind if we moved inside? I've got a condition," and then just kind of started mumbling after, like he didn't disclose what the condition was. And you know, this is in the time of COVID where people are using that excuse for not wearing masks. But just the way he did it was like, yeah, I've got a condition that I'm going to. Anyway, she was very, very nice and let us move. But as we were going inside, I said to him, I said, what's your condition? Oh, I know. You're a liar. That's what your condition is. Yes, I've got some of that, too. Oh, his condition is he can't stop lying. I have a condition. Anyway, we moved inside. It was fine, but
it just so you're going. Are you going golfing today?
We're gonna try, but not if it's pouring. We're gonna go because David made a special detour. He's coming home from Ottawa and made a special detour to come to Toronto, which I appreciate. I'm grateful that he would do that. And we're gonna golf today and tomorrow, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know if his condition will allow.
But, yeah,
we'll see.
How long is the whole golf season last then for you? Is it pretty much over now, or are we going into November?
Well, no. I mean, officially in Ontario, most of the courses will start closing in the first week of November, October. But you guys know from being up north, you know, there's many a pleasant day ahead, fellas. Many a pleasant October day ahead. But for me personally, the golf season is finished. I had my last big tournament on Thursday, and for the rest of this month, I'm just going to go out and goof around and have some fun. And hopefully Fred will get a chance to get Johnny a golf shot out and maybe hit a few balls before it snows. I'm really looking forward to that.
So it's kind of a wind down then for you. After your intense.
Fucking brother. Oh, I have a condition. Do you? Is it your pants on fire? Is that your condition?
Why couldn't you just say it's cold out? Can we go inside?
Exactly. I mean, of all the things you have to create a lie for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Honesty is the best policy.
And it wasn't like there wasn't tons of room inside. I tell you.
You don't like sitting outside at the best of times, though.
Well, I would have sat outside there, to be honest with you, because it was looking out at the lake. It was beautiful, actually.
Okay.
And when we first sat down, we were all quite happy. Well, two things. I'm more sensitive now than I ever have been to cold. And secondly,
so am I.
It was really loud. And here's another thing me and my brother did. No excuse. We just said, excuse me, can you turn this music down? Because it was so intrusive. And so, and they did, to their credit. While we were sitting outside, they turned the music down. Everything's fine, but it's cold. So when we do our little, oh, I've got a condition, and we go inside, now the music's so loud inside that, anyway, it was just,
Did you ask again to help with your environment while dining?
I've been made fun of for
doing that kind of thing, as you well know.
Well, yeah. No, we didn't ask again.
Are you becoming me?
God, I wish. I really
well,
do.
I was going to say the words, can you turn that music down? I bet you I've uttered those words a lot more than you, Howard, especially over the past 7-8 years.
In my general direction, yes.
Yes.
Can you turn that music down?
Yeah. And what's with the fucking bass? Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. Anyway.
My favorite. I was going to say, my favorite Dan Duran atmosphere story. I've told you this, where we went to, I took him to this really out of the way Chinese food restaurant on Baldwin Street in Toronto. If you know, it's right in the heart of Chinatown, and it's not even calling it a restaurant is being kind, because it's really just a room in somebody's, they built a room, it looks like their kitchen, and it's all fluorescent lighting, right? It's only about 6 tables. So we're in there and they've got these hanging lights. And honestly, it's the reason you go in there is the food is so authentic. It's not like you're not going in there for fine dining. Dan and I sit down, and before I know it, Dan's unscrewing the light bulb over our table. Like, that's going to make a fucking difference.
It did.
The rest of the room's all bright white lights. You're in a gymnasium. I said to Dan, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just trying to make the atmosphere better. I go, look around. We're in someone's fucking kitchen. Jesus. He's unscrewing the light bulb.
The atmosphere better for you and your best buddy.
Yeah. No, he just said the light was wrong for him. Hey, listen, we know Dan's got an eye.
I've seen. We know he's got an eye.
Yeah.
Every time Dan has dinner, even up here, it's an event. It's the table. It's, you know, no television and the candles are lit and, yeah.
No.
No. The way it goes, yeah.
No. It's, you know what it is? Because he's so, he's constantly wooing himself because he can't stop. He just can't stop. He's always in a mode of, oh, damn. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. I think that's it. Phil's back tomorrow. Thanks to the Feminine Warrior podcast people. Tomorrow, James Duthie returns to the Humble and Fred show. Peter Mansbridge will be here on on Wednesday. Bill Brio is back on Thursday, and I'll save some of the stuff I was going to talk to you about with the new Sopranos movie. It got horrible reviews, and some other stuff we can talk about with Bill. And then I promise you, everyone, we will have an answer as to whether we're going to do a little Patreon performance. Dan, are you available on Thursday evening to drop in and thrill all the Patreon people?
Sure, this Thursday? Yeah.
Maybe. Just depends on everyone's schedule. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, let me know and I'll be
I will. And Freddie, I know tomorrow's going to be a sad day for you.
No, with the weather recently up here, I can't wait to shut it down and move on, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, you say that now, but
what about nice days coming up?
Yeah, but you know,
I'll be at home. I have a nice home.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I know.
I'll enjoy the days at home.
Okay. But if honestly, tomorrow, if you feel like having a little moment or two, I'll be there to support you.
Okay.
Okay. Dan Durant, thank you for your service.
Thank you for having me in.
Appreciate you. Hey, tomorrow, Freddie, have you seen the? Are you up to date on the season finale of Ted Lasso? Have you seen it?
Yes, I believe I did. Yes. Was that the 10th one?
Yeah. That was the one where, yeah.
Or 11?
Yeah, the 11th one, yeah.
Yes, okay. I did.
We can talk about that tomorrow.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was a nice way to end things. As always, we appreciate you listening and watching. And now here's Fred to say the bye-byes.
Well, the fall, or the, this episode of the Humble and Fred Show was brought to you by the Chamber Plan, Health Gauge, the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, and Doer Clothing. See you tomorrow, everyone.